It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 611. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. And in a few minutes, I'll be playing a voicemail from this week. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. I have another jam-packed show. We're going to talk about the new update that's coming for Windows 10 called the Creators Update. I've been playing with it and beating it up. You're going to get my feedback, lots of good links. We are going to discuss Evernote and some tips and tricks with Evernote and making sure that it's set up properly to integrate with your email. How much RAM do you need for a gaming system or your regular system? I have a link to that. And then a stack of great emails that I'm going to get to. So let's kick it off with the Windows 10 Creators Update. And it's coming soon. They're saying spring 2017, but Microsoft's not pinning an exact date. A couple weeks ago on my test system behind me, it needed a reboot. And then I got this strange screen after 30 minutes of updating. Then it brought up a window welcoming me to this new Windows. So what's the good, the bad, and the ugly? A quick overview of some of the things that I found. When you right-click the Start menu, Command Prompt and Command Prompt Admin is replaced by Windows PowerShell and Windows PowerShell Admin. Also, to my dismay, they removed a link for Control Panel. Now, Control Panel is still there, but you don't have an easy way to get to it anymore. You'd have to pin it to your toolbar. So you'd have to manually find it, bring it up, and then pin it to the toolbar. Or a link I'm going to put in the show notes, Start 10 from StarDocs. You can maintain that traditional Start menu that you've come to know and love from Windows 7. I'm seriously giving that thought because of this update, the way they're playing around again with the Start menu, and Microsoft's got to stop tweaking that. I think they got it right on anniversary update. I like what they've done with the menu, but now they're making some bad changes, at least in my opinion. If you go to Windows settings, they've now added apps and gaming sections, which were never there. In the update and security, they added a troubleshoot section, which they added a Find My Device. So sort of like Apple to find your phone or find your, you know, they've added a Find My Device. And in the privacy section, they added an apps diagnostic. So they played around a little bit with the settings. Microsoft's overview, and by the way, I've got this as part of the what they call the Insider Preview Program. And since I joined that on my test system, I get all the updates. And let me tell you, they're doing major updates every week. One time they bricked my system on one of those updates. So beware, do not put it, the Insider Preview, on a production system. Put it on a test system. Their description for an overview of this creator's update, they're calling it, Windows introduces the next wave of innovations with the Windows 10 Creators Update, giving you new creativity and gaming experiences built around the people who matter most. Do amazing things in 3D and virtual reality. Quickly connect and share with your key people and enjoy epic gaming with 4K fidelity and game broadcasting. So if you're a gamer, you're definitely going to like this update because it's really mostly about you. Now, I'm not a gamer, so a lot of these features, I don't care. Are there features that are worthy of, I'm sure we're going to dig and they're going to be tweaking, they're going to be adding some things. I mean, I'm going to update just because it's the natural progression. I'm sure they're going to push that update just like they did the anniversary update. And it's interesting that they're giving these the anniversary update, creators update. Someone in Microsoft are coming up with this way to market these updates. There's an update in Windows 10 that I'm going to put a link to that I found that now warns against installing apps from outside the Windows Store. So keep that in mind. They want to sort of force you down to the Windows Store. Now, you can turn that off and go around it. Apple has the same feature on the Mac that if it's not officially from the Apple Store, it won't install. And you got to go into security settings and actually enable the ability to install non-Apple Store programs. Microsoft's just sort of following along the path Apple has paved on some of these features. A potentially annoying update is headed your way. Microsoft is currently testing an update to Windows 10 that will prevent you from installing apps from outside the Windows Store. MS Power User reports the feature is similar to feature on Macs, which by default prevents from installing apps from the unidentified developers. The update is set to release in April. In the upcoming Creators Update. Also, Microsoft Windows 10 Cloud could challenge Google's Chrome OS. As of now, the feature will be turned off by default. It's supposed to help protect casual users from malware and bloatware, but it could impact developers who release their apps via direct downloads from their websites rather than via the official Windows Store. The company is also reportedly working on a Chrome OS-like version of Windows 10 that will completely prevent installing Win32 apps. Wow. Unbelievable that they're going to try to now compete with Chrome OS by doing a junior version of Windows 10, I will call it. I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, I'll definitely get my hands on it and want to play with it just to try it out. My big caveat here, or my big warning on all these updates, you normally have your favorite settings for your default apps and little tweaks. Something that Microsoft's been doing that is very annoying with some updates is they're changing those settings. I go in and religiously change and uncheck the power saving options in control panel of every network adapter that's on every computer that I touch. I make sure that I uncheck those power options. And my computer, my test system, absolutely had them unchecked. And after this update, they were checked again. And default apps changed. My browser default was back to Edge, even though I had it manually set to Firefox. Very frustrating. So after an update, do not be surprised if default settings have changed and your tweaks are now untweaked. So keep that in mind. That's one of my biggest warnings to everybody from all of this. Go back in and you got to check everything again. That's enough on the Windows 10. We'll definitely talk about that more as it hits and starts coming down. How much RAM do you really need in your computer? And I have a link, and this is from PC Gamer, which is Maximum PC. I love that magazine. An interesting article. Is it worth the costs of going to 16 or 32 gig of RAM? I'll give you my real world experience. I will not sell a system with under 8 gig of RAM. It just doesn't make sense. RAM's too cheap. And even on the refurb computers, if they don't come with 8 gig, I'll put another 4 gig in it if it comes with 4. I will not allow a computer that's under my support to have under 8 gig of RAM. Not happening. That to me is a minimum. Now, if you're a gamer, will going to 16 help? There's a lot of pros and cons there. I would say yes. And if you're a power user, yes, definitely go to 16. Now, for me, I went to 32 because I could. And that was the maximum my motherboard can handle. Just because I could, I wanted the maximum amount of RAM on my system. Is it wasteful? Probably. And I think that's the point of this article. Going from 16 to 32, unless you have specific apps that you're running that's directly going to take advantage of that, where you need more than 16 gig of RAM, it's a waste of money. You're not going to get anything for going to 32 gig of RAM. Minimum 8 gig of RAM. You're a high-end gamer or power user, go to 16. And in the rare instances, unless money, no object, then you go to 32. And that's sort of my take on the size for RAMs. Something very important to me, I live and breathe Evernote. I use it every day. It's on every device I have. I have the premium version of Evernote, and I need to interact with Evernote on a constant basis. I have all my clients' info. I have just my whole business notes are geared to Evernote. And if I get an email or something interesting and I want to send it right to Evernote, then you got to make sure you have the add-in saved to Evernote. Now, I noticed with all the things that was happening to my system this past week, my save to Evernote was gone. I was like, oh no. And I have Office 2010. It was installed, but it was disabled. Depending on the version of Office that you have, you got to go into the settings and look for the add-ins and then look what has been deactivated. And if Evernote link has been deactivated, activate it. Restart Outlook, then go back into those settings and you can bring up literally a checkbox of all of the add-ins and then check to start that particular add-in. Now, maybe you've had a crash or something happened with Outlook and you told it to not start all those add-ins. For me, I absolutely want that Evernote save to Evernote button in my Outlook. Even on my one laptop where I have Outlook 2016, I have the same thing set up. So this way, if something comes in with an email from a client or whatever, I can quickly and easily send it to Evernote and I can pick where do I want it to go in Evernote? So I can, what notebook do I want it to go to? Great example. I use News 360 on my iPad and I may be reading something. I'm like, ooh, that's going to be interesting for a show. And I always have notes with the show number of the next few shows because I'm always thinking about the future shows and there may be links for different things or different articles or something I want to talk about or something. Ooh, that's a cool tip. And that's, I send it to Evernote and I put it in the show notes that I have for my Mike Tech Show notebook and the show number. I just want to let you know it's just part of my process of how I build. So to wrap up Evernote, I have two links. How to save email into Evernote. When you have an Evernote account, you get an Evernote email address where you could literally send an email to that address and it will be added to Evernote. It's a great feature. Another feature is how to use Evernote for Outlook. And everything I just talked about and making it add that button to Outlook, I have two Evernote tech notes for links in the show notes for tonight that will help you through that. Couple things before we continue that I didn't get to in the beginning of the show. Next Thursday night, not sure. I'm going to try to have a regular show Thursday night, and then I'll try to quickly get it posted up on Friday. Then Saturday the 18th is the All Mac show with my guest, Dave Greenbaum, who is a Mac guru. And that is 2 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday the 18th. So put that down. Also, the Unconvention 2017, you can now sign up, save some money on tickets. The early bird sign up for tickets is ready. The dates, it's September 16th and 17th in Washington, D.C. And the link is www.unconvention.io. The link will be in the show notes. Please sign up. And if you have any questions about the convention, email me and I'll make sure they get addressed by the organization team that's putting the convention together. And I am on that. If you have any questions, please feel free. MikeTechShow@gmail.com. The last few shows, I've mentioned, what are you doing to track your time and how do you track? And I still have a couple great emails, but I got this voicemail from Nancy. Give a listen.
Mike, instead of trying to remember to write things down, why don't you use a voice memo on your phone? As soon as you leave a client, make a note of in your voice memo of what time you got there, what time it is now that you're leaving, and what you did while you were there. You can do this while it's still fresh in your mind, and you can transcribe it. Better yet, you should look into getting a virtual assistant. Then you can send all your voice memos to her. She can look at them and enter them into whatever invoicing software you decide to use. You need a virtual assistant. You do not need to be trying to do all of this stuff yourself. It's taking away from your productive time and it's stressing you out. If you could hand all this admin stuff off to a virtual assistant, you could actually concentrate more on your business instead of working in your business.
Nancy, thank you for that voicemail. You are absolutely correct. And I do have to look into virtual assistants. And I think I should probably have both. And I like that idea of recording a voice memo of everything I've done with the client, but also having one of these professional programs for tracking time and invoicing, and then do what you suggested. I think that's in addition to. I think there's a combination of solutions here. I like that. It's simple. And I love elegant, simple solutions. This is from Kevin. So after your last episode, I had to dive back in and try the app on Repair Shopper. I have had an account for a while for basics, but had not tried the time tracking on the app. Mike, you got to try it. Once you get past the setup, it becomes so insanely simple to track your time for each ticket. It is at the point where I am kicking myself. How did I let this feature go unexplored for so long? Try the app and you will not regret it. Secondly, I wanted to follow up on an email I sent a while ago about the Windows 7 hanging when checking for updates. Recently, I had a new experience that makes this easier. First, make sure you install the 64-bit because why would you have 32-bit anymore? I agree with that, and he has a link. Secondly, that list from AskVG. I would ignore everything to start with on that except KB3102810. Boy, that's hard to ignore that. I'm going to continue reading your email, Kevin, but those eight knowledge base articles, those eight hot fixes have been just a godsend for me in continuing the Windows 7 updates. Now, I got to admit, it's been weeks since I've worked on Windows 7. Once these two have been manually installed with a restart after each one, you should start seeing your updates after the restart when you check for updates. You will still have to manually install some of the others, but it seems to go faster and seems to be less restarting. I think Microsoft, as we've been seeing, and I've been hearing from all of you, that they've made some significant changes to the Windows 7 update servers on their end, and it's actually starting to work again. It gave me 144 updates right after installing that one first. Thought I would share that as it might help in many situations. Thanks for sharing your story on the last episode about my personal system. It made me run a scan on my desktop, which it found quite a number of malicious items. It was a good reminder that I am not impervious. Normally, I am dealing with family computers that are almost dead because of infections, so I don't even think that it's possible that I could be infected. Thanks again for putting out so much great information. Yes, and that's the moral here. You got to run the checks. My system, I neglect it as I took care of everybody else's around me. Make sure, clean your system. This is from Dexter. Enjoy your show a lot. You asked about keeping up with customer time. This is hard. After 30 years, here is what I have learned. Most pre-built electronic options are expensive and cumbersome, especially for small shops. The only electronic device that ever worked for me was a Palm Pilot with a very simple log program. I downloaded it into my TB program. Alas, my Palm Pilot died a few years back. So I went to a paper binder. I carry with me everywhere. It has worksheets in it. Anything I do for a customer is recorded in it. I log time, start when I arrive, or start work for customer. I enter stop time. I then, on the sheet, have a section to break up time, billable, non-billable, travel. I then write a description. It is old school, but it works. I am now looking at a program to be electronic, light, and cheap called Legal Billing by Chaos Software. My goal is to capture data, not bill it from the program. I have a few questions. I hear you mention retainer accounts. How do you do this? Come up with a fee and what is included? I think you said you do it quarterly. Absolutely. The only thing we have like this is what we call prepaid hours, which customers buy a block of hours at a lower rate up front. It is similar. Let me take that first. I sell clients the monitoring and review of server event logs, monitoring backups, whether it's a backup of a Synology device, a backup of any NAS, a server, or an important desktop. There are lots of things that you can do on an ongoing, proactive basis. And that's where I put aside the retainer. I call the retainer client. The retainer is automatically gets phone support, I'll support everybody, but they get a priority place in line when they contact me. Maybe they call the main number and they get help from someone who's working for me, or they're on a priority list for support. I would shift around non-retainer work to make sure that they are taken care of. Buying blocks of hours, they're not quite, I'm not monitoring, I'm not doing anything. They do get a priority, but they just buy blocks up front, and I will never sell anything less than 10 hours. I have a regular non-retainer rate, and then slightly lower, I have my retainer rate, which is what I offer clients to encourage them to sign up for quarterly, or they're going to pay that higher rate, may not get the attention as they need it. And you got to do that in such a way to not belittle your business or to not make it, well, boy, you know, you got to pay extra to be helped. Well, when you're busy and when things are happening, you need to be able to say, this is the priority. If I have three phone calls coming in with three clients with a problem, well, my retainer clients get taken care of first. And then we look at the severity of the problem. That's just some of my quick thoughts. How do you handle customers with no server to control their environment? What I call a headless environment. I show them that they will need more that way, and I get a blank look. I know it is about money right now. They don't need a server. It depends on the business, and I really don't have a generic answer for you. It would depend, what are they doing? What data are they sharing? And I bet you, I would say 95% of my clients that don't have a server are using a workstation to do some kind of sharing. And here's what I put to them, because 9 times out of 10, there's no backup of that system. And I say, now, all your documents are all stored on Sally's system. What happens if you come in and Sally's system is not there? Someone stole it. What are you going to do for your data? What if you come in and Sally's system will not boot? You have to create real-world practical examples of what will happen with the loss of the data. And then that's where you get to sell your services for. You need to back it up. Maybe multiple. You back up local and back up to the cloud. It's definitely business to business on that one. How do you handle customers who say they have been looking at a provider who offers an all-you-can-eat for one price? I have never seen this work. That is very simple. Unlimited is never unlimited. Give the example of the phone companies, T-Mobile. They say it's unlimited. No, it's not. Look at the fine print. They will scale you back to 3G instead of 4G. And if you read further and dig deeper, you'll find you're throttled back and really they only give you 20 gig. It's not unlimited. There's no such thing as unlimited. You can never have that all-you-can-eat model where you're going to be serviced properly. And if you keep abusing it, you tell them, I guarantee you that person will stop calling you back and stop helping you if you start to abuse the amount of hours. I don't believe all-you-can-eat is a sustainable business model for what we do. I know I'm going to get a lot of pushback on that. I do not believe personally, I know it would not work for me. I don't believe it is a truly sustainable business model to offer that. I don't believe you can properly charge enough to be able to fully see a profit by offering all-you-can-eat services. I will never, ever offer that. What is Raise the Bar? Raise the Bar is a private Facebook group that if you would like to join it, it's about business owners sharing problems and technical business owners. Email me or Carrie Holzman and we will get you into that group, Raise the Bar. Lastly, Windows 10 Pro. I've had a few occasions that on startup, I get the circle of death. Let it run for hours, no luck. After a couple power downs, it comes up. Any ideas? Yes. I make sure that I make sure all of the updates are properly feeding and installed. Do a cleaning. Do a deep anti-malware cleaning. And 3, just in case there's an updated driver problem, run Driver Max software. Let it update all the drivers. That usually takes care of this circle of death. I think I've answered all your questions, Dexter. This is from Andrew. Hi, Mike. Been a listener for several years now. I wanted to share with you something I have created. Originally, I wrote this email and realized how long it was. I've always liked how speedy a system is in safe mode. Makes running malware scans much faster, but I've always heard it is not recommended to run malware bytes in safe mode. And also, if doing remote support, it is not as easy for safe mode. So I took a batch file shared on TechNibble and modified it for remote support. The batch file automatically kills all background processes and most of the time antivirus to speed up the computer. It does not kill Windows system processes. I also modified the batch file to exclude processes for instant house call and other remote support programs. I have tested it with those and it should not kill a remote session. Below is the original TechNibble article with the batch file and attached is my modified batch file. I also included 2 other batch files that can set a reboot timer to run before just in case you get disconnected and also an abort reboot script as well. And he has the TechNibble article. I had to attach text files due to Gmail policies. Yes, and I thank you for that. You know what to do with them. I will bundle them up and make them available from the show notes. Andrew, thanks for going to that effort. And I'll also link the original TechNibble article. This is from Cormac. Was wondering if you could answer a question. I have been using Fab's auto backup for the last year and I love it. But as I'm moving more from just fixing home computers to small businesses, I was thinking of buying this as it appears to be able to copy programs. This is Zinstall. I have another email behind this about the same topic here. So this is very interesting. I was just wondering if you had a view on it, as 200 euro is still a bit out to lay for me. Many thanks. I don't have any feedback, but I'm going to read this next email from Don that's also going to address this. I want feedback on Zinstall. A long time ago, and it was a program that came with PC Link, I think, and it was to be able to transfer everything from one system to another, and it came with the, I think it was LapLink, I think the cable, and supposedly they could take all the registry entries and everything that a program uses and move it. I never found that process to be perfect. There's always something not quite right. Every developer does not program the way they should. They don't follow all the proper rules. And if you get some sloppy programming and an application that doesn't behave properly with the way they're doing the registry entries, you are going to have a problem in trying to transfer that. What about programs and the licensing that comes with it? That there's lots of things attached that makes it activate or not. My thought is, I never liked or looked for a program to do that because I want to install the original software, or at least the updated software, in its entirety, the proper way it should be installed to wherever the target, the destination system is. Because of that, it's prevented me from going down this road. But I was doing a little work looking at Zinstall, and there's some nifty little things that the one kit has for migrating profiles, and especially from one domain to another. So some of the product description tweaked my curiosity. So I'm wondering if anybody's been using this program. This is from Don. 10 years ago, I moved the director of one of my customers to a new computer, and she was disappointed that her Outlook signature, name cache, and some other things didn't show up on the new computer. That's when I learned about the NK2 file. Well, that's just one piece. The location of the signature files, etc. Well, Fabs does that for me. And I got better at moving a user to a new computer or recreating their profile on their current computer. Windows 7, 8, and now 10 have made recreating a user's profile much more difficult. I don't think so. I tried Fab's auto backup when you recommended it, but found it lacking. Well, it depends what you're looking for. I emailed a list of things that I was looking for, you'll see below, to Fabrice, and he confirmed that all of the Outlook and Windows details that I want recreated are not handled by his product. But as I go on, in your top paragraph, the things that you mentioned are absolutely covered in Fab's auto backup. I use it all the time. Windows 7 included still does a Microsoft developer tool named Windows Easy Transfer. Beware, that does not work like it should. But Windows 10 doesn't have such a thing. I did come across a company, Zinstall, that says they have a product, Zinstall Easy Transfer, that does all that I am looking for, though I haven't tested it. However, the way they are pricing it, I don't think I would ever go for. Basically, they want $40 per pair of computers. I want a tool that does the job that I can use on any computer. That's not going to happen. The closest you can get is Fabs, but that doesn't do everything and it doesn't move programs because it's very difficult to move a piece of software. But they are selling a service for which they want to charge $40 every time you use it. And that is if you buy a minimum of 25 licenses. They charge $59 for a single license. I'm not sure there. We're going to have to figure out how the licensing is for this program. And here's what he's looking for. In addition to all the files from desktop downloads, favorites, documents, pictures, music, and videos, in Outlook, where I have 9 email, Exchange, and IMAP no pop account, I often change the default for key folders, inbox, sent, spam, to indicate by a number next to the folder, not just how many are read, but how many these emails in a particular folder. Quick steps, custom buttons per account to quickly file an email into a particular folder, among other things. That is all I use Quick Steps for. All of the items that I have pinned on the taskbar. As a matter of fact, I take a picture of the existing taskbar, and then we look at the picture and manually recreate as best we can. All of the items I have pinned to File Explorer, Excel, Word, Accessory on the taskbar. It's not easy. Start menu arrangement. I usually delete everything from Win10 start menu and very selectively add things back. I have another way. Maybe go to like Classic Shell or Start 10 for everybody, and then that's going to be easier possibly to transfer and their settings to move from one system to another. But you'd have to have already done that with the source computer. Everything under personalization. Main things I change are screen background and what I want displayed under the start menu. The list above was the list I prepared when I asked the maker of Fab's Auto Backup if his product could do these things. No, but thinking about it a bit more, how about Firefox Chrome favorites? I use Firefox account to sync those settings, but what if a user doesn't have a Firefox sync account? Does move the settings for Firefox and Chrome. Fabs does all that. Heck, I'm sure there are dozens of programs that store files under a user's profile, app data folder, and registry that one would like to bring to the new profile. I just thought of two more. Details of all the routers that I manage via the vendors, Microtech, configuration tool, are stored in a folder under app data. The profiles for my ScanSnap scanner are stored in these somewheres also. I hear some or all of this is a synchronization between computers. If you log into a Microsoft account, I haven't tried that. So he goes on to detail pricing on Zinstall's Easy Transfer. I'm not going to go into that. You can read that on their website. Don, I don't know, but I would like feedback on Don's email, which is what program can do some of these things that he's trying to transfer. I do it manually on the things that I can't get transferred, like what's pinned to the toolbar and certain things for the start menu. I also have to build the what we call the quick access in the File Explorer. And there are things that I take a picture of on my camera, and then when I'm redoing the system, I build it manually. This is from Igor. I was listening to your show 610 preamble while playing Win10 Solitaire. Microsoft must have updated the games catalog because the new version of Solitaire lets you choose the level of difficulty. This is a seemingly insignificant instance or example of how much society has degenerated. The Snowflake generation wants a preschool guaranteed winner version of Solitaire. If you've been playing Microsoft Solitaire since Win95, you know that the engineers have been manipulating level of difficulty or randomness since its inception. The ideal achievement is to be at least as totally and incalculably pseudo-random as a physical shuffled deck of cards. These people just don't know when to quit meddling and ruin a good thing. The best solitaire game I have found is Ubuntu Jumbo, 2 decks. I play it so that the game has to end with the played cards displayed with either a stair step or a symmetrical pattern, as you finish the last card of the last deck. Igor, thanks for your comments.
This is from Robert.
I would like to know if anyone heard of Qure, K-U-R-E, and I'm going to have the link in the website for more information on it. From their website, antivirus software just doesn't work anymore. It worked 20 years ago, but the hackers have just gotten too smart. The Qure is not antivirus software. With the Qure, you will never need any antivirus software again. It builds a safe house or a vault on your hard drive away from your operating system and data, and inside the vault, you can open up as many viruses as you want. Then simply shut the computer off, turn it back on, the viruses are destroyed, and your computer is back in pristine condition. The price is lifetime license for one PC, no annual fees, compatible with Windows 10, 8, 7, and Vista. And if you ever get a virus that can't be removed, we will replace your computer with one or equal value up to $1,000. PC Mag did a report on it. What I would like to know, what do you all think about it? And if it does what it says it does. I also would like to know if this would be good for clients to use. Thank you for all of your help. Robert, you're describing something like a virtual OS running within your OS, which we can do now. Also, I don't think the program's around anymore, or maybe it's not free, but I remember Sandboxy was something that this could be. I don't know about this product, but we'll have to take a look. And I guess if anybody wants to try this out, I don't know if they have a trial version, but to take a look. I'm not quite sure how it's allowing you to protect your data, but how do you read your data to your programs, yet keep it isolated from a program that you would install? And what if I want to install it on the other side of whatever this Qure software is? I have to see how is this working within your operating system, and then I would have a better understanding. This is from Olaf. I am a regular listener of Tech Bets and the Mike Tech Show. I'm based in New Zealand and have a question regarding Google Voice. I want to get myself some business cards for the tech support I do after hours and during weekends while at university. You recommended getting a Google Voice number to put on business cards. This way, it can be redirected to any phone number and you have all of the Google Voice features on top. That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I do with my phone. However, Google Voice is being a little funny with the phone number set up outside the U.S. without a workaround that involves a VPN, etc. Is there an alternative you can recommend, preferably free, as I am not expecting a lot of these calls? With the ability to get a free number and redirect it to my actual one, that's all I need. Many thanks, Olaf. My listeners outside of the U.S., what can we offer here that has the Google Voice-like features? Could use some assistance here. Let's see if we can get some answers for you. Final email. Hosted Exchange, the Microsoft Action Pack. As a matter of fact, when Winston Wolf is listening to this show, he's going to say, I told Mike about that years ago. After listening to your last show, where you talked about switching your own business to the hosted exchange, I was shocked you were not using it in your business already. That's because I got cheap and lazy. While you liked the vendor you switched to, which was Shareweb, as you have always praised them in your show and will likely not consider other options, I thought you'd like to share with your listeners other options available to IT consultants like us. If you sign up for a Microsoft partner and purchase an annual Microsoft Action Pack subscription, $500 without any discounts, you get free E3 Office 365 subscription for 5 users, as well as some additional internal user rights licenses for Windows, Office, etc. He has the link. Just thought I'd share this with you and your listeners. I have been a subscriber for 10 years and have not had to purchase any Microsoft software since I've subscribed. As usual, keep up the good work. This is Zrinko. Thank you. That is an excellent recommendation. what I got to do is take a look, and you should check it out and see all the software that you could get and all that licensing. And that could make a big difference on what you decide before you're going to pick an exchange hosted service, especially if you're a consultant or a repair shop or anything related to the work that we're doing. If you purchase anything from Amazon or know anybody that purchases from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.mikenation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the Mike Tech Show. Amazon.mikenation.net. Please share that. Tech Site Builder, if you want a professional repair shop website, professional consulting site, anything in the tech business field, Tech Site Builder, just as it sounds, .com. Computer Business Kit version 3 from Tech Nibble. That's the ultimate kit for forms and everything you need. You heard me mention Fab's Auto Backup 6 Pro. I love it for what it does. Everything from the files that are on your system does not transfer the programs and the software because there's an inherent problem with that. Now, that's what we want to see if that Z install will help solve that. Also, please support the sponsor, Instant House Call. Go to instanthousecall.com, download your trial version, use the promo code MikeTechShow. That's it, everybody. Not sure, follow me on Twitter and Facebook, whether there's going to be a show next Thursday night or even maybe even next Wednesday night. Let's see. But there will absolutely be a show on Saturday, the 18th. That's it. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.